All right, we'll call the meeting to order.
Murphy?
Here.
Buffo?
Here.
Perry?
Here.
Miller? King?
Here.
Morris?
Here.
Stuber?
Here.
All right, if you want to stand.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
My time?
Yes.
Thank you, Lord, for the meeting of hearts and minds. Thank you for the ability to listen and to hear wisdom. And thank you for helping us in making the decisions that will be a benefit for our city. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. All right. Public comments. Can you give an assist?
Maybe.
Does anybody else want to do public comments that didn't get signed in? We can ask again. All right. Pastor Ken.
I'll defer to my wife first.
Okay.
I'm making comments about the liquor laws being made. First of all, I wanted to know, when we were here last time, when this was kind of all being covered again, and some of the hours were being covered again, the first time, I know the board went into special meetings, and they were going to redo all of our laws to bring them up to state standards and even possibly more stringent. So I wanted to know, was that finished? Because I never heard
that
it was finished.
No.
It was never finished.
Brandy is still working on it. She we had an issue finding some of the old ordinances over the last 10 years. They're missing or they're not signed or some record-keeping issues. So she's going through and... Some days I don't talk to her as she's going through boxes.
They are almost done. I had to go all the way back to, 1978.
Bless your heart.
So it's almost done. And okay. Once I get everything together, then I have to send it to the codification company, mm-hmm. and then they'll deal with it from there.
Okay. So well, at that time, one of the things that was talked about as far as making decisions was that the bars would close at midnight, mostly because of the sound, the noise issue. And so that was kind of the way that was going, and I would like to see that. And the noise is an issue, and it is an issue, especially during the good weather when everybody likes to have their windows open and stuff. The other issue that they were going to approach was if anybody wanted to have public drinking on their patios or whatever, that they would put up a privacy fence so that you don't have kids walking by and that kind of influence. I also heard a comment. Well, I also want to say I think you need to take into consideration the whole community, and I also think you need to take into consideration the on one end of town you have at least two liquor licenses that are issued to businesses that are near one church and the library, which are both public places that families are going to go. And then on the other end, you have two holders on the one side of the street, 45, that is near at least one church. And those two are in residential section. So everybody that's living around them is going to hear, if they're going till 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning, you're going to hear it. You're going to be up. I know there's been times we've been kept up. Years ago, one time I don't call the police for hardly anything, but that night I just had it. It was 2 o'clock in the morning and they were still going. The band was still going. The noise was still going. And so, I had somebody come out. So I think you ought to consider that. We did listen to the meeting before this, and there was a comment made about that we didn't think we should be able to tell the businesses what they should do on their own property. And I just kind of like to think about this. Our leadership decided there was no leaf burning in town, and you can't burn leaves on your own property. Well, why did we decide that? Because evidently we determined that it was bad on other people's health. The neighbors, it was affecting the neighbors, it was affecting the community, and it was a health issue. And so, you know, there's people that like the smell of leaves. There's people that like cleaning up their yard really and having it nice. But they're not allowed to burn leaves now because it's been determined by the leadership that's not something that's beneficial to the community. So I think that's all I have to say. So thank you.
On the privacy fences, how high do you think they should be?
Well, I don't know, but the main purpose would be you have children, you have families that are going by, mainly children. And so I just think that's something, if you're going to bring it out in public, it should be something that the public needs to be viewing.
Okay.
All right. If you're going to do a little short fence and they can still see people sitting down drinking, then there's no point to it.
Yeah.
That's not privacy.
The problem is if we have outdoor cafes, like they do in Champaign and Urbana, they kind of defeats the purpose of an outdoor cafe since we have no decent restaurants in town right now. So that if you want to go to a restaurant, you have two bars that serve food. Or that you have to go to Savoy or somewhere else. That's just something to think about. I mean, that's something we're struggling with too. And if they put a big privacy fence, we'll just pick on It'll Do since it's right on 45. Then you're going to cause traffic. They're not going to be able to see you when they pull out on 45. And I don't know. I don't know what the right answer is. So we are struggling with that. So, all right. Any other questions? Paul? Come on up.
I'll just make it brief. Maybe I'm not the right part of the meeting either. I just wanted to see any sort of staff report about what was going on.
Sent me an email. How did you hear from?
No, the email that we've been talking back and forth since that was directed more at the Planning Commission,
yes.
I kind of thought I'll kind of stay back and kind of wait on them to reply on that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's why I thought, well, I'll contact you today to see what the status of that was, if you heard anything. And we have. So I don't know what the next step would be.
That's just what I'm trying to figure out.
Right.
But if I can facilitate this in any way, I'll do anything I can. You know, we talked last month, like we may have be in a position to have a hearing first week of March, and I think there's probably some public notices and that have to go out. So
you're correct.
You know, we're kind of getting underneath the gun here. So
I'm
just curious here.
I think they have to submit a more finalized set of plans as well for that. I think that was one of the things they were going to have to submit the plans. And then they were going to do the zoning at the same time, as if I remember. Mm-hmm.
We're going to do the public hearing with the zoning. And
so they were going to try and kind of do all that in one fell swoop, but
yes,
try to get that finalized that way. So maybe if they haven't received any plans yet, they kind of haven't.
I'm not sure they're talking. That's what worries me.
Right.
Can you reach out to your guy, and then you reach out to Frank, and kind of get it moving along?
I reached out to mine, and they hadn't heard anything yet.
Okay. Well, you know they need more finalized plans, so if you can get those to Frank, and then, Mark, how long does this time frame do we have to have to announce the public meeting?
An ad in the paper and notices have to get mailed to nearby property owners at least 15 days in advance of any hearing, no more than 30 days. So I would think could maybe realistically target the second meeting in March.
Okay.
Would be realistically the earliest.
And do it like an hour before the meeting? Or do it during the meeting?
There's two hearings. There's Frank's hearing that could be an hour before us or half hour before us. And then we would have a separate hearing which would be, they can be held.
Like during the meeting?
Not concurrently, but they could be held the same night.
Okay.
We've done that a few times before.
Does
6 p.m.
The Planning Commission and the developer
are going to be
at this point, correct? I want to make sure I get the right party.
Right. Like I said, I'm just kind of the building officials. So I was trying to stay out of step on anybody's toes, but I still think this was.
I'm the same way, but I'd like to push this. I mean, I'm planning on leaving Monday, and I wasn't planning on coming back until April.
Yeah.
And I will come back whenever needed. We're going to Tennessee, but we'll come back whenever need be. But I'm just trying to get life in order.
Yeah, the meeting would be on the 6th. Why don't we just set it for that, and we'll just tell everybody this is the deadline. And now I'm looking at you guys. Can you be here? Well, I mean, I guess you don't have to be here for the planning meeting. But it might make that meeting go a little bit longer. That'd be the 6th, first week in March. Yes, sir.
We can barely make that, but I'm suggesting, based on experience, probably more realistic to pick your second meeting in March.
We can do that.
20.
How 250 feet.
I would hit most to Kinderwood, like Campbell Street. Do they have to be mailed, or can they be delivered?
We mail them. Okay. Just regular first class mail.
Okay.
And I mean,
200 feet from the center of the property, 20th. Property line.
Property line.
There's pretty rage around.
We just pull the GIS map, and then we measure it out here on bringing in too many properties, and then send them off, and then we just make a little certificate that says so-and-so sent these off on such-and-such date, and then that just gets
approved. Does the village take care of the mailings too then? I mean, I just want to be sure that the find responsibility who they belong to.
Okay, so we'll do it on the 20th at 5:30? 5:30? And then, so you need to get more detailed plans. As soon as you get them to Frank, make sure you email Matt and everybody.
Then we're going to talk. So let's.
Yeah.
We'll
I was too.
Work on that, so.
All right. Yes, sir.
Okay.
Thank you. I'd like to follow up on what my wife started.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Did we skip? Oh.
Okay. I deferred to her. Let her speak.
Okay. I'm sorry. We skipped.
It's a good thing to do in a marriage.
Yes, it is.
And I brought some material for you. I know you don't have anything to read, but I brought six, and I will give you mine, and so you can pass those out. We talked toward these areas of the whole liquor ordinance 8 years ago, and even before that. I've been pastoring here for 31 years. And I've been a homeboy here for 50 years. And so when I bring these issues to you, what I'm wanting to do is to touch your conscience before you ever vote on these issues. And so I wanted to read from the March 16th, 2010. I'm going to omit reading the old statistics. I've got some of the new statistics. I think I've got three copies of new statistics for you if you're interested in reading those. But this is how I approached the board in March 16, 2010. I'm just going to read it, and then I'm going to read an addendum to that for this evening. I began, we're meeting here tonight in part to discuss proposed liquor laws. You've been given the responsibility set guidelines for our community and set direction that will, in fact, encourage growth or diminish it. I don't believe there's one person here who wants to see this village diminished in any way. In fact, that's the reason many are here tonight. At that time, there were probably 30, 40 people in that little room back there. And many of them were really upset, and a few of them very upset, and so we're touching issues. I'm not seeing that this evening, but I still want to be the voice of conscience for you. And so I'm going to continue. In this day of relaxed standards, there are few who want to allow children access into the culture of drinking. That was what Rademachers proposed in that day. We don't have that. We're not dealing with that. But the issue is still the same. I'm here to ask you for no tolerance, limited access, and clear-cut laws for everyone. No partiality. When I say no partiality, I grew up in a time where if your family was one of the good old boys, you could almost get away with murder here. And that's the truth of it. And so I want across-the-board standards that that there's no moving from. And you'll understand the reason that we need them in my second letter, but I'm going to go ahead and turn the page. And I'm going to read some of the results of the two statistics that I brought to you. You can read those in your own time. These quotes lead us to the fact that rather than loosening these laws, we need to tighten them. It reminds us that enforcement of these laws directly affects our community and our culture. I'm really interested in changing the culture of drinking in Tolono, Illinois. I think it's one of the most important issues that we as a people, we as the church, and you as leaders of this community, these are issues that we just want to make a change to make this town a city that's good for families and good for businesses to grow. And we're not going to have that with some of the attitudes that seem to be rampant. I'll talk a little bit more about that later. I recall the last time we gathered. I'm on page 2. Last time we gathered here, because our local taverns wanted to extend their hours, one young mother stood up before us. She and her husband had just moved to Tolono in the new subdivision. That's the subdivision out on the deer path. Yeah, this young lady was giving. Or I missed something. She told us had she and her husband known that the main businesses in Tolono were bars, they would not have moved to Tolono. Now, I know that those are not the main businesses of Tolono, but there's a perception. And this young lady was giving us a clue as to the family values that guide a young couple in finding a home for their family. She was reminding us that when people move to the city, they're looking for things that are going to be good for their children. I'm also reminded that following that meeting, our police chief, now this happened 8 years ago, our police chief stood before you and laid out the cost of policing the hours between 2 a.m. and 6 a.m. Those extra costs were directly related to the issue of alcohol. I'm not sure each of you really knows what goes on. I'll let you read that yourself. These were issues that we personally have dealt with over the years. But now, I've got highlighted here things that I asked for then and things that I'm still asking for. Mandatory state-approved training. No tolerance, limited access, no one under 21 on these premises. I noticed that one of the ordinances that you're looking at is maybe a change about children coming into the premises of these establishments. At least it was highlighted, having to do with whether a parent brings someone into. I would like to see no children in these establishments. Now, I don't know what you're going to do with that, but I'm wanting you to think about it, all right? Clear-cut laws with substantial fines and increasingly stronger penalties leading to suspension, and clear licensing with no gray areas. At that time, I was asking for to limit hours to 12 midnight, and on Sunday, limit sales no earlier than 12 noon. And I was asking for aggressive law enforcement. And I said this, and you'll see this in our second letter too. I am not advocating some kind of prohibition. We're beyond that now. I am advocating good citizenship from our tavern keepers, and good leadership from our governing body. And I used this quote in the early 1900s. There was a baseball player turned evangelist that said, "The mother and the tavern keeper don't pull the same chain." Now, he was reminding us that the motives driving parents and the motives driving liquor businesses are not the same. Two different motives. And you are stuck in between both of those motives. And it is your job to be able to weed through all of that and come to some kind of clear-cut consensus that's going to be for the good of our city. The bottom line for these businesses, is not the care of children, but the care of their business. But you're in a place of leadership to watch over the directions of this community. And I'm asking you to remember, your decisions. I'm asking you to, I put 4,600, it actually was 3,400, right around there. I'm asking you to remember the 3,400 people in this village. Now to my addendum to this, and this is what I'm asking you to consider when you make change or touch these issues. I wrote, the last paragraph of my 2010 letter concerning the effects of alcohol, I said, I'm not advocating some kind of prohibition. I'm advocating good citizenship from our tavern keepers and good leadership from this governing body. In the early 1900s, again, I quoted that again, and I said, his tongue-in-cheek was just reminding us that motives driving parents concerning their family and motives driving taverns and those that sell alcohol are not the same. Bottom line for these businesses is not the care of children or the protecting of our family, but for the care of their businesses. You are in the place of leadership to watch over the people, all of the people of this community. And I'm asking you to remember our families in your decisions. And I'm asking you to remember all the people of this village. I heard an excerpt from last month's board meeting, and in that meeting you were talking of one of the stores that sold liquor to someone underage. Some of you thought the penalty was too high. For you to believe that means you do not understand the cost of alcohol to some of our families. Now, I understand that's not all of the families. So I printed some materials. You have those printed materials that will give you some kind of idea of the numbers that you're dealing with. All right, and rather than go through all those statistics, I'm going to tell you about two people who lived in this town. One of them was my best friend. I'm telling you about this person because his life was affected by alcohol. It's not like selling milk. If I was to sell you milk, you buy my milk, you go home. There's no problem for you, no negative connotation. There's no lasting negative things to touch your life if I sell you milk. But if I sell you alcohol, there's a certain number of people that are going to be affected forever by touching of this alcohol. And we, and I'm including myself, in our values and in our attitudes, we need to understand and reflect that on the decisions that we make for this city. And so I speak of my best friend. His father spent more time in the tavern than he did at home. And when he returned home, the majority of time he was angry and abusive with his kids and with his wife. Anybody that knew this family knew that he was an angry drunk. And one evening, my friend came running to my house. He had been fist fighting with his father, who was picking on his sister. And this young man, he was 17 years old, I was 16 years old, came running to the house, afraid, and he said, "Hide me, hide me." And so I locked the front door and I hit him. About 5 minutes later, there's a banging on my door. I was, again, 16 years old. Kenny Young, you let me in. I know he's in there. Well, I didn't let him in. Now, the thing about that, I was 16 years old. Now I am 64 years old. And when I bring that up, the emotions come right up and throttle me right to my throat to this day. It was an emotional time. And so he finally went home, and my friend, in his tears, this is what he said to me. I'll never forget it. He said, "I'll never be like my old man." But you want to know something? When he grew up, he drank like his old man. He was abusive to his family, just like his old man. And he lost his family as a result of it. Now, that's an area of that's an area that we never touch, we never think about. But when you're dealing with these laws, you need to remember. I don't want you to remember the how many are affected by alcohol. I just want you to remember the one that's affected by alcohol, a young man that lived in Tolono. The second one is as well somebody that's close to me, and I'm not going to give you any names, but I want to tell you about a beautiful 16-year-old girl. She began drinking in one of our establishments. I want to say it again. She began drinking at 16 years old in one of our establishments. I'm not going to name any names. It's not my point to make them look bad. I just want to touch the issue of how alcohol touches some people. And so this vibrant, impressionable, she was well known in the community, her family well known in the community. That was part of the issue. The thought was, it won't hurt anything. And they knew her dad. And but her drinking became a habit. A 15-year binge. And the truth is, it took her 15 years to break that cycle. To this day, she still deals with this regret, because that lifestyle didn't just affect her, it affected her children as well. Now, I've got a multitude of other stories that I could tell you. I'm not going to do that. But my point is that they were affected by alcohol. Thankfully, some have received the grace from God and now live healthy and wholesome lives. But there are others, there are still others whose lives are still caught up in their addiction. And so when you think about this issue, don't just think about the poor business people who can't compete with champagne. And don't just think about the tax money that you're going to bring into the village coffers. And please don't limit your thoughts to those thoughts alone. Please remember the families and the naive kids. And remember the parents who find themselves out of control and as a result lose their ability to care for their family. See, this is the reason why I believe we need stronger laws in this village. And I'm asking you to hold the line. No sales earlier than noon. Tolono's been my home for 50 years. Well, apart from schooling. 50 years. And I love this town and I love these people. And folks, we've been given the responsibility to govern and protect our community. And again, you, the town board, you're in the place of leadership to watch over the people of our community. I'm asking you to remember these families and to remember all the people of the village. Thank you so much for listening.
All right. Engineering.
quick things to discuss. One is, at the last board meeting I attended in January, we had discussed the final pay request of Grunlow, and based on everything that I have heard and everything that I have seen, all the work is complete to date, and so I would recommend approving the pay request, unless you guys have any questions or concerns with that.
Vicki?
I see. Refund for mileage here.
Oh, yeah, that was my second item.
Not that that's the end-all be-all, but I see it.
So I'm talking about Grunlow's, though.
Yeah.
Okay.
If I could say something, I'd like to kind of hold off on some of that due to the yard not being finalized as of yet. You know, it's not the right time of year for that, but if we pay them, I know Rick said somebody came the other day and sprayed grass, so I don't know if they're going to try and say, yep, we're done. No, that ain't going to fly. So.
Well, we did discuss this, and I've forgotten the time frame. It was sometime in the fall or late in the fall, I'm guessing. But
it'd be a warranty issue, right?
Yeah, we had discussed that we would go ahead and close the contract out and hold it as a warranty item, or hold it as a... I mean, we're going to hold the line with them. Ned.
Well, there's really not much way to enforce that then if you're not holding any money.
That's, yeah, we discussed that at that time. And if I'm not mistaken, the board did discuss just closing it out at the time, because we discussed, I think, three options on how to handle that. But again, if you guys choose to do it that way, that's your prerogative.
Ideas? Thoughts?
I remember us deciding that we would visit it as a warranty issue.
I think so too.
Do we have that written down somewhere?
Well, it should be in the board minutes, but
being
I don't think it's written down anywhere.
Type of. If it's something in writing,
I could ask.
I think that says.
Why don't we do this?
This is going to be taken care of.
Why don't
to
we
this degree?
Pass this pending we get a writing from them that promises they're going to fix the yard up to our specifications, and we don't cut the check, and that goes for Brandy and Robert. Check doesn't get cut until we have that letter, and you guys have that letter in hand, and then once that letter's in hand, you can cut the check and send it to them.
And if I could maybe even further make a recommendation that we could put a dollar amount or something to that. I'm just trying to think of another way to put some teeth to it. And I'm thinking out loud here, so...
$700,000
yeah.
Not to exceed.
What do they still have to do? I mean, I'm remembering...
Give us a nice yard.
We had some grass. We had asphalt in the soil. We had... garbage soil, basically.
And then there's this back little thing back here.
Is any of that taken care of, or what are we thinking has to get done?
So the grading with the back area is on the neighbor. That was something that was worked out through Grunlow, the city, and us.
Okay.
And so that's kind of a separate issue that was on his time schedule. The asphalt...
But they still need to do it, though, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Yep. The asphalt and some of the rocks and such that were in the soil and the grounds, Grunlow did make an effort to do some more work to get some of that out. And
are we happy with the effort?
Are we planning to have them retill and reseed everything?
Yes, they were going to. Well, I can't say they were going to till.
Let's see. Fertilize. Crabgrass preventer, chemical, whatever, down, kind of keep. Because that's all the yard is, crabgrass.
Yeah, you know that. So. I see, because if they're going to retill, who knows what they're going to dredge up when they go down 3 inches
high. Mm-hmm. By far.
Where they have where they reseed out here, if the good grass is growing, it looks good.
Mm-hmm.
But hard to tell what it's going to look like when we get into dry months and it dies out.
So.
And that brings up a good point, because that was part of the problem last fall, too, is that we had such a dry fall that we did have trouble. Even if they would have done something, it would have been trouble to get it to maintain growing.
Well, yes, they had all free water they could use, because they weren't going to charge for water. So, I mean, they could have watered every day at the greenest yard in town. And
sure.
Didn't do it, so.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
yes, sir.
My suggestion is to have a specific punch list of what they have to get done and at what level. Have our engineer give us a rough estimate as to how much it would cost for us to do it ourselves. Then hold back 1.5 times that amount and give them a deadline to get the punch list done, or else we'll do it ourselves. That'd be my suggestion. That's just another option, but I mean, we routinely do that with new construction and a residential level, so why not do it here?
So we have already gone through the punch list, whatever portion of the work, and they completed everything but that seating. And that was kind of the one item that we had discussed as a board on how to treat that. And at the time, we had discussed that we would approve payment contingent upon them completing the seating.
Well, but I'm hearing there's grading, and then there's lack of satisfaction with what the soil looks like. But I mean, unless the board saw something different, they went through and picked through the soil, but they didn't do a very good job picking through.
That's what I'm hearing.
Yeah, and actually, I'm kind of waiting for the snow melts. We get a spring rain and see who else washes all that.
Did they just bring soil in from somewhere else, or is this?
No, you guys think of it on site.
So it's generated on site?
Very enlightening. Some of the site comes.
They tried to haul dirt in, and they cut some ditches. They didn't like pulling rocks, they hauled it all.
Okay. But, I mean, why? I'm just asking why stuff would be in the soil. It's because it was already in the soil before they started the project?
Or not over here.
That's part of it, Mark. Yes, there was some rocks. I mean, you expect a little bit of that with soil around here, but yeah, with the soil they used, there was some rocks in it.
But that soil they brought in?
No, most of it was retained on site when they did some site clearing.
Okay, but the stuff in the soil got generated from construction work, or got generated because it was somewhere else, but it was.
Some of it was probably done.
How much was caused by the contractors?
Well, they did bring in some soil, and if I'm not mistaken, most of that soil was okay. Again, it was just a lot of the soil that was here because, we had the grounds that were here before. They had some rock associated with the soils that were here, and that just kind of got spread throughout the site.
Well, my only point is we just need to specify exactly what we want.
Yep.
And then I would suggest tying something that gives them the time to get it done. And 1.5 times the rough cost of that is probably a normal approach. Or you could just go with the guarantee that you talked about last time, too. I mean, something like we're not talking tens of thousands of dollars? Or
No.
$5,000?
I would be surprised if it's even that. I forget how much the total landscape contract was even for, but I'm not putting my fingers right on here, but I'd have to look a little bit more. Landscaping is, the total contract was $9,374. But that doesn't include backfilling, that's simply just seeding the plants and fine grading.
All the plants that are dead. What do you guys think?
Maybe we just approve everything minus the $9,374 that was the entire landscaping until that's done to our satisfaction. Would that?
Then you can create your punch list of
Or that didn't include everything anyway, so.
Well, we have already approved partial payment for them.
Part of that, okay.
So I think the only thing left at this point on their contract would be the retainage, which is 10% of that, which is about $900.
Yeah, but the retainage can cover anything that they didn't do under the contract.
Correct.
So I think what we're saying is it's about a $700,000 payout, so we'll make it a $690,000 payout, holding out maybe $300, depending if they're getting it all done.
I see what you're saying.
I think that would be fine.
Works for me. What is the total payout? $57,919?
Yeah, it's on the agenda there. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
I think the motion could be a motion to pay Brunlow, and you got Randy got the number in front of you, so
57,919.40.
Yeah. We held it back, getting your completion of landscape. That would be good enough for getting paid that amount tonight.
So what, $48,545.40? Someone can check my math. Someone check my math. You're the treasurer.
I didn't hear the number that word.
Okay, so it's $57,919.40 less
$9,374.
Correct.
Unless you want to round it up to $10,000, make it even, because you said hold a little bit over that, and then just bring it down to $47,919. Making it an even amount, so the next check will be at an even $10,000 after they get it done in the fall.
Makes it easier to figure.
Yeah, exactly.
Everything else was good. I know last time we talked about a few things we had on the list.
I think so. They fixed the cracks above the doors.
That was a warranty item there.
Did they get
it? But the door hardware was kind of the last lingering thing.
Yeah, it's finally done.
It's done. I'll make a motion to approve the pay request for Brunlow for $47,919.40, leaving $10,000 unpaid until the landscaping, including seeding, grading, fertilizing, grading, whatever we need to have done, gets completed.
I'll second that.
Puffo?
Yes.
Perry?
Abstain.
King?
Yes.
Morris?
Yes.
Stuber?
Yes.
Okay, so I will have them revise it, and then I will send it to Robert, and yes, then you'll just sign it. Okay.
Yep.
All right, and then the only other thing I had was the invoice, which you got. So do you guys need a copy of that, the revised invoice?
Do I have a copy of that?
I don't think we mailed a hard copy.
I'll take
one. Okay, there's actually three there.
Okay.
Okay, that's it, unless anybody has any questions. Okay, thank you.
One thing I'm going to... Right. No, you're good.
Okay.
One thing I'm going to probably do here is change this lock to the same as that lock. So the conference room doors both have the same lock on them. Because right now this is key, like all the other things. I should have thought of this when they were fixing that lock. Think about it. The way the conference room doors are the same. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it doesn't matter because you can access the garage anyway from in here. So.
Yeah, so, but you can't access this room from the garage.
Yeah.
All right. All right. You're up.
I got four things. I'll try and go through these kind of quickly. One thing we noticed with the last few snows, it'd be nice to have some snow routes. The streets we've been having quite a bit of problem with. Cars parked on the streets a lot. Deer Path, Condit, Walnut, and Allison.
Those are pretty main thoroughfares. And when we're trying to plow, we're plowing around cars, plowing cars in. If we have, you know, a designated snow rat in there, get the cars off, plow it, be done with it. That way we're not coming back multiple times to try and clean off the street or around cars. So.
Is there rules in Deer Path about signage?
Signage.
Because one of the routes will be in Deer Path.
That's
so
the majority. Yeah, that's the majority.
I don't think so.
Okay.
I'd almost go one step further and make it no parking on side of the street.
Yeah.
Those streets are so wide.
And they are pretty wide.
Yeah, it takes like four passes to get them cleaned off. So.
I just know passing buses in the middle. You got car here, and you're both coming up. It's
right, right.
You're getting pretty close at that point.
Yeah.
I'm fine with parking on both sides during the regular, because there's a lot of people with cars and kids, and driveways fill up quick.
What about parking on the sidewalk?
We have an ordinance on it and a fine. We hit that pretty hard because the duplex by Dollar General, they park on the sidewalk all the time right there. And we hit that one, this has been years ago, because we asked the board for an ordinance, and they wrote an ordinance for us, and then I think we even actually offered.
I think we wrote the same person three times.
Yeah, and there's not only is there an ordinance, but there's also a state ticket you can write for that.
Okay. Can we, can I talk to you later?
Yeah. I know I've said it once, you know, a couple other meetings I've talked about this, but I'd really like to get this, something done with this. Really had to deal with it quite a bit this winter. So it would just make our jobs easier, safer. That way there's less chance of damaging our equipment, damaging personal property. So just for the cost of some signs and some posts. So.
Why don't you, have you written it up and got a map and outlined exactly where you need it and where the signs are going to go? Well, why don't you write that up, get it to Mark, we'll write an ordinance and vote on it next meeting.
Okay. My next is water main locations. This was, and I don't think I printed out a ton of these.
I know. Actually, I'm looking at the wall over there.
Okay. That.
I'm going to check for this. Why'd we have that before? It should be supposed to be.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, that's the same one.
Yeah, you get a little bit.
These are the two different areas we're trying to figure out what to do on.
Thank you, sir.
Holden, Linden, Barbara, and Sharon project. One is getting one small easement from one of the landowners that is affected by it, so there shouldn't be an issue getting an easement. Which would be this one here. The one with the small highlighted yellow area. But if we look down, which would be to the right side, to the north, there's houses shown on here. Some of the houses extended to that easement. So that easement gets really small, real quick. There's yard barns, there's trees, there's all sorts of other stuff within that easement area. So either we're going to have to directionally drill through there, which is going to cost us more, or we're going to have to go through there to trees, have people move sheds and stuff like that. Or the second option would be to try and get an easement from the landowner to the west. That would decrease our construction costs significantly. It'd be quicker, cheaper, but we do need to contact the landowner to
you know, tell them that, you know, everything will be put back the way it was prior to construction. It's not going to adversely impact their property. You know, there might be a cost on our end to buy an easement from them, because we have to have a permanent easement where that water means at, plus a temporary construction easement for the construction process. So, is there any questions on that?
Can you set up a meeting with her on Friday morning?
I can try.
Yeah. See if we can at least talk with her.
Yeah.
She's already been in the office once, because she wasn't happy because the surveyor put a couple stakes on her in her farm field.
And all that.
What was it?
And all that was just a couple survey points. It wasn't. There was no easements. That was no boundary. That was just points they set out there so they could do their survey. So.
I bet if you quoted it compared to tearing up all that stuff, directional boring is probably going to be cheaper anyways. Once you consider everything.
Not if we could get a piece out of that field, just because that would go so much quicker. Because the type of material, they got to fuse that pipe and then drill it, drag that pipe back through.
Mm-hmm.
They'd still dig it up, make their connections and stuff. So,
I mean, they're going to be going under sheds.
So are they the homeowners?
Yes.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
So it's not necessarily an easement.
It's an easement.
Yeah, it's our easement. They just built a shed on it.
Is it an easement for us?
It's a utility easement.
Okay, so then, if my understanding is correct, then when you build something or plant something on that, it's understanding that could possibly be moved or tore up because it's in the utility easements.
But if you look, right away. There's one house that's over by... This one's over. This one's over. Mm-hmm. So from where they want to put the water main, there's 3.5 feet. So, you know, so they're over 6 feet, 5.5, 6 foot into that easement, that 10-foot easement. That red line is the property line.
How wide is the easement supposed to be?
10 feet. But that doesn't give us any construction easement. Which we probably wouldn't have to have a construction easement if we were doing directional drilling. But if we ever had an issue in there and had to dig something up, then we might have problems. So
we never have water main breaks.
Never.
And the benefit to the landowner, too, is that's all subdivided? Is she have that subdivided out?
Not as of yet.
Not as of yet. So it saves her money if we drop it in her area, and then they decide 10 years from now to subdivide it. They don't have to pay for the water line to go in. Water line's already there. So it saves them a lot of money later on.
Or we can put a cross in there, and then they can extend out from there, or we can say, for future expansion, we'll make 3 taps wherever you want your water main to be at, and we'll pay for those taps. So,
let's see what she says first.
I think that'd be the best way to go about it, to see what they're thinking, and then kind of we can move from there. So.
We've talked to C2 at length about it. Just sounds like the field would be really quick.
Yes.
And easier. I'm afraid we're going to hit something for directional more. Something we don't know about.
That could be anywhere.
I know.
They still think they can do it before planting?
It all depends on the budget.
The last idea was fall for construction.
Okay.
So different fiscal year.
Yeah.
So our fiscal year ends April 30.
All right, something to think about. We'll try to make a meeting with her on Friday. But I only have morning, though. I have to be back on campus in the afternoon. So we send out his budgetary items. I think I was supposed to do that. I don't think I did.
What's that?
That might be on me, the next one.
Oh, nice.
Did I send it out? Did everybody
to it?
Okay.
Were there any questions on? I mean, we don't have to go through this in depth by any means. We, you know, if anybody has any specific questions about 2018-2019 budget, I'm ready to. I'll answer anything.
And that's something you could just shoot Matt emails on too, because we're not ready to approve it. So.
I have not had time.
One thing Jared had asked about was the front end loader purchase.
Mm-hmm.
The back one we've got is 14, 15 years old. It doesn't have a huge amount of hours, but it has a ton of miles on it, because that's all the use it gets is just road miles driving around town. And it's getting to the point it's going to start make one of the diamonds on maintenance cost. There's some decent sized things that are going to perhaps start doing here pretty soon.
Have checked into grants for those, because I know some have been going around. Philo just got one.
No. The thing I've been talking with John Deere was they do a governmental discount, but I don't know about any grants.
Yeah, I would possibly call Philo. And,
I'm sure he's not doing.
Keeping in mind that a front end loader only does one thing compared to a backhoe. Well, compared to a backhoe that has a digging bucket and a carrying bucket.
Well,
you have one bucket.
I was going to ask about a clamshell, but I see you already figured that out.
Yes. Mm-hmm. This is the biggest end loader you can get that has the skid loader attachments. So any skid loader attachment will work on this machine. Which we have. They call it a root rake, which is just like a big set of fingers to pick up brush, which would be better than the 4-in-1 bucket, because it's that's awfully hard on that bucket, picking up some of that.
Plus, we're tearing people's yards up.
Right. So with that and a set of forks, that got another... If you buy a package like that, I think it was like another 5% off the total price of the equipment. So.
Did you put those implements in this list?
That would be... Well, the way I'm looking at doing this is for a lease. So it'd be a 5-year lease. The first year payment would be with trade-in of the backhoe.
Mm-hmm.
So that would take care of that first year payment. And then after that, it was 22,000 per year for the rest of the 5 years or 4 years after that. So
do we have an option to buy at the end of that?
That is with the option to buy, and that's with the dollar payout at the end.
So you lease for five, then you buy it for a dollar. How much are the lease payments?
Like I said, 22,000. I'd have to look at the
you want a 244 or 324?
So that's the biggest you can get with that.
You told me at the little Walmart, I went out and looked, I thought it was Meyer, and they've got 544 sitting there. That's huge. So I was trying to figure out how you're going to work that. This makes no sense.
Right. Urbana.
Yep.
We call him and he can give you more information on that grant.
That grant.
That'd be better. Then we could just sell our old one.
And that's something I thought of too. Instead of trading it in, maybe we could put that as a sealed bid, not to take under what we could get as trade in. So.
All right. Here you go. Any other questions? Anything else for us? Oh, Austin Street.
Yeah.
Did you get more information on that?
Kinda. Talked to the potential land buyer last night. So he sent me these photos. This is what he was wanting. He's really wanting to stick with this plan and put up a shed house.
Where's this going at?
Over by you.
Right next door.
By the empty lots.
On Austin between Corey and Whitehead.
Oh, the empty lot that's been for sale forever.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sounded like he was very interested in purchasing the lot. He said if this fell through, his second option would be a state belt. So, because I was saying, you know, we might have some concerns with the steel siding exterior on this. The one there looks
pretty. It's going to be a two-story?
I think pretty much just like that, so.
Good luck with the neighbors on that one.
So,
it passes.
This is one of those things that I'm glad I don't have to make that call.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't want to be in that decision
making.
This is
where the planning and zoning needs to kind of take over on
and
this one.
So that's when we're going to combine those two boards.
Yeah, that's going to be a big one.
But at least those photos kind of give you an idea on what he's looking at. I don't have any better options to tell him right now because I don't know anything myself on that. So. And I did want to hand these out. This is one of the proposals I have on my list.
It looks really cool, exciting. It looks really neat. Oh, this is really cool.
That's just giving us all sorts of paper.
Not as much as Frank. Are there any more questions on anything that I have there? Like I said, I'm happy to answer any questions anytime. If you got questions on budget items, just send
me. I have a random crazy question.
Yeah.
How much do we use of the lease back?
We probably had it out 5-6 times. We'll probably have it out 2-3 times in the spring just to kind of pick up, finalize
it. So in comparison of all the leaves that you pick up, what's that come to, that you use it? Right, 10, 20, 30% of budget collection.
For all the leaves?
Yeah, I mean, I've just never seen it out and used. Yeah. I always see you guys in the, that's why I wondered, do we even use it?
We do. We do all the leaves with that. Brush, we use the backhoe right now. So any of the you know, if there's like one small pile, we might go out and pick up one small pile of tobacco.
Okay.
But
I know, that's why it was a random question, because I was...
Still having problems with sticks being in the leaves.
Yeah,
which that's a big deal.
Yeah. Sticks, pumpkins.
Pumpkins. Pumpkins. Do they clog up the leaf thing?
I think anything does.
Nice mulch.
Yes. So.
Squirrels love it.
Squirrels.
All right. Anything else?
Concerning your front loader.
Yeah.
If you can find out ways to cut some dollars off of it, I'd love to see if we could be able to buy it outright and save us $13,000 in leasing.
Well, talk to him about that, because he was saying that we can't.
No, I'm just talking about with the grants.
Let's see
how much we can get off of.
We can get a grant for half of it.
Well, if we lease it, though, isn't all repairs taken care of rather than if we buy it?
No, but they still have that Martin Max, which I'd like to do like we did on the mini excavator. So that was around $1,400
mm-hmm.
per year. So
you get almost 10 years of that with this $13,000.
All right. Any other questions? Huh? All right.
Perfect.
Robert, you're up.
So, maybe mentioning this, but on that, I would like to implement a vehicle replacement plan as part of our planning and budgeting process. And with that, we can also throw in capital equipment like backhoe, whatever. And the concept would be department head. So, Rick and Matt would say, I'm going to replace a cop car every 5 years. One's going to get replaced. So for that 5 years, the cost of a cop car divided by five, they're setting aside that dollar amount per year for 5 years into this fund, hopefully a money market account, so we're getting some interest on it.
Which we have one. Not using.
We do. I'll use that for capital improvements. We can open a second one, no big deal. But that way, when it comes time to buy a new cop car, we're not throwing $30,000 into it. When we're buying a new end loader, we're not throwing $100,000 into it in 1 year. Without planning and considerable amounts of thought and planning going into it. That is an option, but it sounds like it's more of an immediate need.
Sills, any questions on those?
Farnsworth check that's in here, is it based on that updated invoice?
No, that Farnsworth check should be for Anthony's work as regular Tolono business. Anything involving the police station is TIF. That should be a TIF check.
Okay.
And it says in the top of the invoice for Farnsworth, if it says Village of Tolono Police Station Phase 2, that's coming out of TIF.
Okay.
That's police station stuff. If it says
something else,
general is the other Farnsworth invoices.
Okay.
Any questions on bills or invoices?
There's two invoices from Miller and Hendren.
Yes, there was a correction. I talked to one of Mark's assistants.
Barbeck, I saw something here about you. Come on, you need any bonus keys?
So last month they sent us a bill for this, and I called them and said, hey, that's not us. It actually was us, but it was part of the installation, and then we shouldn't have been charged for it as a service call. So this is basically saying they're crediting our account what that other invoice was. So it's netting out to zero.
I just remember Unity came into effect.
I think Unity is a client of theirs, and their secretary may have just made an assumption.
Okay.
Do we know what this one's for?
Yes, this is welding. That.
I mean, do they have a name or?
Yes, John.
John.
He is a welder that did service for. It looks like a bracket on both sides of the backhoe.
So I think we probably do. We need like a name on it, maybe.
More than likely, yes.
I think that might not look very good in the audit report.
Don't have a welder.
That we just gave Tolono Public Works some. money.
Oh, yeah.
So maybe. I don't know if we. Let me write it in there or something.
Yeah.
That's the only one I questioned because I didn't really know who it went to.
It's an Oracle.
And if I'm questioning, I'm sure somebody else will.
In this 33.
I love that.
This refund of 3364 to 101 condo.
Yes. So,
but yeah,
they had
just make sure
all
the
time to water,
and then something written on there.
Asked for their water to be turned off.
Pretty good size water.
Basically, it created a credit to their account.
Plus gas.
Or, so sorry, bill was printed. They had us turn it off. They paid it. They created a credit on their account.
Okay.
The house is going to go under some deep renovations. They're not expecting until late spring, early summer to actually have water turned back on there. So she asked for a refund of that credit amount. And it's actually in her son's name, so the credit would go to her son, not her.
I'll make a motion to approve bills as presented.
I will second that.
George.
Papa?
Yes.
Perry?
Yes.
Ping?
Yes.
Morris?
Yes.
Stuber?
Yes. Hey, Vicki. Will you sign this one check?
I know it's confusing.
Just
stop.
I got like
a line.
So we're good on that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, sewer credits. There should be two, unless something got thrown in there last minute. One of them. Their sewer credit approved, I believe, at the last meeting. Their leak spans 2 billion cycles, so this is kind of catching up with that. The second one, the owner of the home passed. Pipes froze and burst. They had a plumber fix it. Plumber's receipt is included in there, showing that they had a professional come in fix that.
Sewer credits, which I can't get to open up.
Motion to pay the sewer credits as presented.
Got a second?
Second.
Got a second?
Papa?
Stain.
Perry?
Yes.
Stain?
Yes.
Morris?
Yes.
Stuber?
Yes.
All right. Are we done? Any other questions for Robert? Nope. All right, Rick, front and center.
Center and front.
I was able to get your stats done for January. You should have those on your table. It hasn't really changed much as far as the total calls service. I think it was about the same as the last one. Just kind of give you an idea.
Pastor Young brought up some interesting things about policing after if the bars stay open, say, till 2 or whatever. Did you do those stats 8 years ago?
I don't recall them.
Could you work on that and work something up on that? Just calls for service at the bars.
Calls for service at
the bars. Yeah, run the calls for service at the bars for last year, and then...
Didn't you say something though that was like from 2 to 6 or something like that? They're not even open.
Well, I know, but run the calls for the bars currently. Mm-hmm. What kind of calls we have now, the time frames of the calls, and I'm then a couple years? It's pretty easy. I mean, it's a program.
Yeah,
just run the program.
What I want, you know.
And then we can sit down and do some figuring that if we leave the bars open a little bit longer,
okay.
Do we need 2 police officers on Fridays and Saturdays? I mean, it gives us some facts and figures, some updated stuff to look at.
Right, so about 2 years of it.
Because unless I'm completely off guard, I don't think we're having the problems
we used to have.
I mean, we still have the loud music issue, but we're not having the fight, and we're not having the... We fought that for a little while. It was one bar owner in particular that would not cooperate with the police, and he's no longer that no longer owns an establishment. And the ones we have now, currently, unless I'm wrong, I know the past officers we had would go do walkthroughs at all times of the night and day. Mm-hmm. And it's nice being a small town because I can kind of look around the bar and see who's in there. And mm-hmm. it's pretty easy to pick somebody out if they're underage.
I think Dan's been doing that too.
Yeah.
Lately.
I know Kitts did it. And yeah. I think Aaron does it.
I don't know. He's been pretty busy.
Has he?
So, yeah.
So it's. I would like to encourage the police officers to do some more walkthroughs and kind of figure out who's in there. Check some IDs. If they look young, check it. So, and really make sure people aren't staying open late, which I don't think they are.
I think they are. We used to have a problem with one of them.
Because I've been working late lately, so when I come through town, I kind of look around, and a lot of them are already closed.
They used to say that a cleaning crew was in there, but we knew better.
Yeah.
You know, but that they no longer are even in town, so
they
have no problems with that anymore.
Okay.
I think everything's else pretty good. We're still waiting on a background from the state for the full-time guy. As soon as we can get that back, we'll start moving forward with him a little bit more. We do have one part-timer which we voted on meeting for last, I think.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Something.
So he's getting ready to get started. He's doing his 40-hour, what they call a police law update thing for him since he's been out of the field for 3 years. Anybody that has not been a law enforcement officer for 3 years or more has to take this 40-hour
refresh.
So he's in the process of doing that. Once he gets that done, then we can get him going on the street and stuff because his background and everything's done.
Something, too, I'd like to contract with. There's a company that we're using at work. Really, really like them. They do, it's like $200 to join or to set up the contract. And then after that, there's no other fees, monthly fees. It's anytime you use a service, it's $20. They do a test. It's like a kind of like a personality test, kind of. But it's really cool when you do a background interview with them, with their application, after they've taken the test. So just another safeguard. $20 is a cheap safeguard, since we don't send anybody to camp again, or we don't do psychological testing, which I think we should, but that's very expensive to send. But it's cheaper in the long run if something gets flagged. So, but this is kind of
most of the time you can catch them in the background check, because we've done pretty good, really.
Yeah, done pretty good.
We've never really had overly big issues.
So, just something to think about. If anybody's interested in it, I'll send you some of the email correspondence. I've used them a lot lately because backgrounds have kind of fallen on my desk. it's amazing. It's like, how do they do that? So
that's pretty much it other than later.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Any questions? All right. Approval of regular session minutes. 16th.
I'll make a motion to accept the regular minutes for the 16th.
I'll second.
Nice. Two little corrections.
For 6.
You still have a favor.
16th, yeah.
It's not real problem. All in favor?
Aye.
Anybody against? Opposed? Perfect. All right, second session minutes on the 16th. I think they're this yellow
chartreuse. I'll make a motion to accept the executive session minutes for January 16th.
Yes.
Gary? Yes.
James?
Yes.
Peter?
Yes.
I feel like I should be lobbying this to you on the ramp.
All right. The next discussion is the liquor ordinance. Comments on stuff? We're not going to vote on it today. We'll vote on it the next meeting. So, just so you guys are aware, we'll vote on the next meeting so we have a clean copy. And so any comments on the liquor ordinance?
I sent some brief email with the mayor. I think this draft works as it is, but it has some language in it that's already in the statute. And I'm thinking that, with your permission, I can shorten this significantly to make it a little more manageable.
I'd like that a lot.
But the things that would help to have a little additional input on would be anything from hours to how we define certain things to the fine amounts that mm-hmm. are in the fine table, that kind of thing. So
that's something
that would be helpful.
That's something that I wanted added to it. You ask for stricter enforcement. The state does lobby fees, we think, but those fees go to the state. So I'm looking to lobby our own ordinances. I don't know how they... We might be a little bit cheaper than the state, because I'm not sure what the states are, to tell you the truth. We did have one establishment sold underage. I know they got caught, but I don't even know if they've got fined. We called the establishment in. This is before I was mayor, but I was on the board, so I set in the meeting with the mayor had with them. The problem is the mayor, there was no guidelines, really. It's like, hey, you can establish whatever fine you want. You know, a dollar, $500, or whatever it was. There was no establishments. I want set establishments. First offense is $500.
Yes.
Second offense is $1,500. Third offense is maybe you lose your license for a week or 2 weeks or forever. So, I mean, I want set guidelines in the laws.
Sounds good.
Plus I want the ability for the police officers, if they go into a bar and there's an issue, that they can pull the liquor license for that night. Mm-hmm. It's, you guys are shut down. They have that authority. They can call me if they want to, because I'm a light sleeper anyway. If they need me to say yes, make sure I'm awake before I just say yes.
In that respect, most of them are written where it's liquor commissioner or his designee, and all you gotta do is MLO
exactly.
With the police department.
And that just makes life easier. Right now, we are not having the problems we used to have. I mean, I'm pretty happy right now. And another thing, I was kind of thinking of some of the stuff that you guys said. Maybe we can tinker with the licensing a little bit and do, if they sell so much food, they can get a certain classification of license. They can open up earlier.
That would be a restaurant.
It's a restaurant that sells liquor, or that can sell booze or whatever.
Right.
But that way it covers the outdoor cafe area. It doesn't cover up the drinks like mm-hmm. you're wanting, and it doesn't mean that we won't have people just going in there to drink. But it gives options, and right now we don't have options in town, and I wish we did. If you guys know a way to entice people to come to town, I'm open to suggestions. We have empty buildings.
mm-hmm.
So... I would love to have a nice restaurant in town.
I would too.
So,
I'm contemplating starting one.
Ooh.
Talk. Yeah.
What we're gonna eat?
You could start cooking for the meetings. We'd get more people to come to meetings.
No, that's not what we're doing here.
So that's kind of thoughts that are getting kicked around a little bit. Plus, I want to raise the licensing for the liquor, the video poker machines. Mm-hmm. Now it's $25. Reading the article in Champagne's paper, I know they were targeting some of the gambling dens because they have a gazillion of them right now. We don't have that issue, but looking, because you can get it all in state. It's all open source. You can find out how much they've made, and Robert helped me kind of interpret it a little bit. I'm sure I'm not 100% on interpreting it, but raising that up, and I'm looking for suggestions how much to raise it up. I'm thinking $35-$50 a machine at the very least. So that's kind of what I'm looking at. Any other comments, fines?
Yeah, I have a few notes.
Mark on.
Well, Mark, I appreciate what you said, because it's like keeping a house of ill fame. It'd be nice to clean up. So, like, what does that mean? I appreciate that you even have that in your purview.
That could be a capital offense. So,
yeah.
Make that decision.
Let's see. I would support raising the licensing fee for the gambling machines, probably doubling that.
Won't be $50.
Yeah, $50.
Yeah.
And
I apologize that I don't have immediate recollection of it, but I think we're capped at the 25 per machine per year is what I remember was in the statute.
See, I thought it was, but I thought they changed that.
But I need to look at it. Like I said, it's been a long time.
And so I might be completely wrong.
I don't have fresh information, but your point is, if it's legal to kick it up, you want to kick it up.
Well, because Champaign just raised theirs to 250, but their home rule. We're not.
But I think that the same law would apply to us, so we may be able to.
Okay. And I don't want to do that much. I mean,
you think I'd be on
the But I would like to kick it up a little bit.
Kick it up a notch.
Is there consensus as to what we'd kick it up to?
At least $50? Or? $50, I think.
Maybe 100?
I mean, the problem is, looking at the... what. If it's good or bad, but looking at what some of them bring in, there's one that brings in a lot. I mean, we're talking, if I read the stats right, one of our bars is bringing in $90,000 a year. Mm-hmm. But, of course, that split between them and the game, I don't know what the split is, mm-hmm. how much the bar owner gets and how much they get. But then it goes all the way down to one establishment is bringing in like $5,000-$6,000. I mean,
yes, but how many of the establishments actually have
all of them?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I think there's six establishments.
I think they're allowed four terminals per establishment.
Five. But there's a couple that
and
only have four.
There's a couple that have either three or four.
Yeah, like Loose Cobra, I think only has three maybe. I can't remember.
That's all on that state website, and I can forward that link to all the trustees if you're interested.
It was actually really interesting to run the numbers for the different jurisdictions. I mean, ignore the first column, because I first looked at that first column, and it was like $7.5 million gambled in this town.
Wow.
But that is, you throw $20 in there, and you win $40, but you stand there and keep gambling, it counts... that $40 is more money coming back into the machine. So it just keeps compounding the money you put in there.
So it's like your bonus plays in Pac-Man. You put a quarter in, you win extra games.
Who said that? I think that should be an insult.
Do your bonus plays, you lose eventually, you have no more credits in the machine, you walk away. You only put 20 in, you're only down 20. But the wagering activity on that machine could be $40, $60,
$100.
Yeah. I wouldn't know how they work.
So ignore the first column, because I'm like, holy cow.
So I have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
So if you have a restaurant, and then they're able to sell, they're considered a restaurant, but they're able to sell alcohol, how does the gambling machines, is that, are they allowed the machines also?
Yeah, because if you sell alcohol, I'm looking at Mark to make sure I'm right, because if you sell alcohol, that's what Champaign's problem is right now. They have these restaurants that do bottle service. That's all they do is bottles. You can get a can of beer or this or that, and they can have a gambling machine now.
Gas stations do it.
I
guess I was just thinking in terms of you have a restaurant, they're selling food. They're actually they're considered a restaurant. And then you have the alcohol. Then you add the machines. But then you have families coming in with kids.
Yeah. Yeah.
It looks like a video game.
Yes, exactly.
Looks like Pac-Man.
You know, and
it almost seems like there should be like a separate room. You know, if you can have that, there should be a separate room where the gambling machines are another room, the restaurant's in one room.
Well, in like, was it Zaw's before they closed? They had actually a separate room. They're a restaurant. I mean, who hasn't been to Zaw's? And they have had like this little separate room that you went to use the gambling machines. You couldn't even see them from the outside.
And then that would be a place where the children wouldn't be allowed to go.
Yeah, exactly. It was. I thought it was kind of neat, but I'm thinking, why does Zaw's have it? But they have bottle service. So they're just a restaurant. They make more money on food than they do alcohol, and people don't go in there just to drink. Well, maybe they do if the gambling machines, but...
Now, just to be clear, just because we can do something doesn't mean we should do something.
Exactly.
So I would... Personally, I agree with Elaine that... If it's a restaurant, let's try and keep it a restaurant. If it's a bar, you can have that. But I mean, people should be able to go to a restaurant and just
relax.
Granted, some may say that, well, that's how I relax. I sit at a machine and I lose my money. But it's just.
And that's a good question. I mean, it's a really good question. But we have the ability to grant the machine license or not. They have to apply for the permit to get the machines. If we say no, they don't get the machines. So, And we can limit the number of machines in town. Lots of questions.
Mark, do you happen to know how many of each type of license we currently have?
I don't know, but I can find that out relatively easy.
You guys would know that. Randy can find that out, of course.
The reason I ask is because from the definitions we have in Article 3, it seems like many of our bars are falling under Class A licenses versus because they don't sell, because they sell over 40% of alcohol, they can't be considered a restaurant. But the Class R is a restaurant/bar license. But again, has that 40% of its sales, cannot have more than 40% of its sales from alcohol. So is there, I don't know if it's something we need to do or makes any sense, but could we separate bars out from the, from the Class A regular retailers and leave retailers for those that are specifically selling packaged?
That wouldn't be a bad idea.
And then have a separate one for bars.
Anyway, do whatever you want.
Because that would be nice to separate the packaged liquor out, because it would be nice to play with that when Casey's can sell, when they can't sell, a little bit.
So like a Class B license for bars?
So if I have a Class B license...
Mm-hmm.
That means I can serve you a mixed drink. That means I can serve you a draft of beer or a bottle of beer.
But I should not be able to walk out with it.
Okay, but I can't sell you a six-pack to take out.
Correct.
No,
that's my opinion.
The problem is one of our oldest bars in town. That's where they used to make a majority of their money.
Yes.
And I'm not sure how much he makes now. I don't know, but that might really, I mean, they're an icon in this town. I know that bothers you.
That's part of the problem.
I know. That stares us over. You can't see his face.
Perhaps talking to the owner of the establishment and just simply asking him. I mean, maybe with the convenience store in town, that portion of his business has dropped to a point that may not affect him very much.
I don't know. We can talk to him. And I don't think that's a mainstay of the rest of ours in town. They might sell a six-pack. Or... I don't think people go in because it's more expensive to go in there and buy it because they have to charge more just to cover their cost. All right. Any other questions on the liquor license? Did you cover all your notes, Vicki?
How would we possibly enforce this serving restriction of 1/4 an ounce and 1 ounce and 2 ounces and 1 day and...
It's like an impossible thing to
include that if we can't enforce it. I'm not sure.
You can have it in there.
It in here. And then
was that a state statute thing?
What section is that?
Under serving restrictions. The serving restriction 504.420.
I thought that was kind of odd too.
And then it has some serving restrictions, and it kind of goes into if you're doing a sample, and it can't be more than this and this and this, and it feels like how would we possibly enforce that?
We don't have time to sit in undercover in the car.
You don't have to do any of that. I don't know how many of where it came from.
Okay.
Just take it out.
But it's okay. You can do what it says, but you don't have to do it.
Okay.
Take it out. Clean it up.
And then I would just make some recommendations in the fines. For example, I think these were recommendations anyway, but I would encourage them to be higher. Selling to a minor, we have a first offense at $250. I'd like to see that be significantly higher than that.
$500.
$500. Big deal for
okay.
me.
And on the second offense, it's a suspension of liquor license.
For a day, at least.
I'd say a month. A day's not going to hurt them.
That's true, because if they pick the day.
You did it once.
We'll do it on Monday.
You did it once, okay, that might be an accident. You do it twice.
I really like how Champaign does theirs, and the police have a lot of leeway because they have a police officer who's essentially the liquor commissioner. I mean, they have a liquor commissioner, but he's essentially that enforces it, and they do a really, really good job on that. And that might be where I swipe those things, which I'm fine going higher. Don't have a problem at all.
So on the minor first offense is $500. Do you want to adjust the second and third second offense or? 750 is okay.
I think it needs to be at least 1,000.
Okay.
It's 1,000 and suspension of license for. I don't.
And I meant to look it up what the state one was, and I can't remember. I didn't have a chance to look it up, but somebody said it was 1,500 for the first offense.
Yeah, we're.
It's serious.
Yeah.
It is serious.
I don't disagree.
It's your call. I think you're allowed to do that. The. Automatic suspensions we can do. The higher you go up the food chain on the length of the suspension, the more likely there can be an appeal to the state, which is okay, but it can be expensive.
What do you suggest on that then?
I mean, I certainly don't. I don't think there would be any problem with a automatic one-day suspension. I think anything up to 3 days gives you a whole lot of very unlikely to get.
And we can make that the third offense, which I hopefully would never have.
We pick the days, correct? Yeah. They don't just say, well,
yep.
So we can pick a Friday or Saturday. Or we can hold on to it and say,
okay, wait till fun day.
That's fun day or St. Patrick's Day.
And that's something to dangle out there, too. And right now, we're not having those issues, but like I said, it stops issues.
Your thought
period.
Is that on the second offense, it'd be a $1,000 fine plus a day, automatic day of suspension?
Yes, at the village's choosing. Or the liquor commissioner's choosing, or however you write it.
And then how about for the third offense, be automatic 3-day suspension?
Okay. What's the fine on that one?
$1,500.
Okay.
Is 3 days really enough if you have served
after the third offense? Though, can we open a public hearing on?
Well,
on if they're
I mean, what we're doing is we're doing a table of automatic penalties. Mm-hmm. When you don't have this, what happened is the liquor commissioner would set the fine and would set the suspension amount. Or could revoke the license, and at that point, the license holder could either agree to it or not, and then it would go to the appeal of the state. Normally what would happen is the liquor commissioner would sit down and say, I told you there's zero tolerance on this, and I'm zapping you. You're going to agree to this, and there won't be an appeal, or I'm going to make it tougher. Mm-hmm. And then you just haggled out a day suspension and a $1,000 fine. On the selling to a minor kinds of tickets, that's where the state normally is going through and auditing and hitting those. And when they go ahead and charge the liquor owner, the mayor's correct, they get the fine, and the fines are up in the, I think, $1,000 neighborhood. But what the locality can do is say, well, we're going to hit you with a $500 fine. And then what automatically happens is the state doesn't push its charge. And so then that revenue would all go to the local town. And if the town was thinking that the state was being too harsh, then you get the benefit of the lower fine, or you can make it a higher fine. But all that money would stay local, assuming that the establishment didn't appeal it to the state.
Would we also put in our liquor statute enforce like a fine for minors? Like, so the minor that gets caught in there, would we put that in there with the minor gets fined?
We can.
Because it needs to go both ways.
Would you do that here? Would you do that more of a public or a possession mm-hmm. ordinance?
That's which I'm good with it either
underage
way.
Possession.
I would think like it'd be good for it to be in both places.
Yeah, so it's at least referenced in there. But yeah. I want a whole section of ordinance violations clean, and I'm hoping we can get these through codification. That we have a whole section that we can bind the book and we give it to our police officers and said, start enforcing these. Because all of those come to us.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to cost us. We'll get some court. We'll get challenged from time to time. But
and what you said about minors' purchase possession would follow the same thing to allowing open containers to leave. I mean, you walk out with an open container, okay, now you're in possession of public property.
Yep.
So,
yeah.
So you can hit the person that walked out, too.
And I also think what will be healthy is every liquor license holder is going to get a copy of the ordinance, but mm-hmm. more importantly, they're yes. going to see this page. So yeah. it's going to encourage compliance. Now, my experience with the other communities is that the corporate convenience places are really pretty on top of this. But it happens where they hire somebody that does something that they're not supposed to, and they're quick to fire those folks. You don't always have that. So I think it's healthy to be on top of it and set the tone up front with the new ordinance. And they're when they see this kind of enforcement, I think, and they'll know that it's automatic, suddenly you set that expectation. They're less likely to appeal it when they're not blindsided mm-hmm. by it.
And I think $500 or $700 or $1,000 is a lot to our bar owners. Now, Casey's, I don't think really bothers them that much. But they're good on disciplining their employees.
They just fire them.
They're really good at disciplining their employees.
They're paranoid about losing the license altogether.
Mm-hmm. And they're good at. They have a team that goes around and checks their employees too. They try to buy underage and they. Yeah. Which do we need something in there to cover them? Because they're going to come in and send somebody underage to buy. The corporate's checking their own employees.
When the corporate finds that, I don't think they report it to the police.
They get caught. Say Rick's in there getting a drink, and they didn't see Rick, and they come in and do a sting, and then Rick's like, oh, there's an underage person.
It probably depends on how they do it. Do they have somebody of age with them? I would guess.
I think they do it at the register, though. I don't think they leave the register.
I just think that's pretty unlikely and it would be hard to write. So
perfect.
I can try to do it, but I don't think it's worth your while.
Don't worry about it, then. I think we could waive the fine if that does happen. The board can overrule and waive the fine. Because you want to encourage that, not discourage it.
Okay. On the outdoor cafe, I'd like to see the blocking view striped, but the permanent fence height stay. But
well, do you know what section you were looking at?
It's
I can find it or you can tell me.
It's under the licenses. It's the OC license.
Okay.
And you could even put a time limit on that for the cafe too.
Mm-hmm.
After 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock or whatever the time we throw out there, you can't have people out there with open alcohol. No, it's just a thought.
Is it the people or the music?
Well,
you say no exterior music.
Which we talked about on Sunday. If we increase the hours so they can open earlier on Sunday, then no outside music on Sundays, period.
Which, yeah.
Even their own speakers.
Mm-hmm.
So, because I know a couple of them have speakers on the outside. And doing the restaurant / thing, so you have to get an extra one for a restaurant, so you can increase your hours if you get this, if you don't want to pay the extra.
Actually, you can only have one license.
Never mind that.
So you have two.
So I'm sorry.
You have to be purposeful.
What you want to do with those slices?
So strike the block view to space, but we keep the permanent obstructed fence.
Rules, rules, rules.
Keep it 6 foot tall or drop it to 5 feet.
For outdoor cafe?
Yeah.
I thought we were 4 foot on outdoor cafe.
I think it's what we came to, too, when I... But it's still got 6 feet in here, so...
I don't want a 6 foot fence on 45.
That's a good kind of one thing too. But yeah. if it's not like a privacy fence or just a wall of wood,
yeah.
If it's wrought iron or one of the decorative vinyl,
that's true.
I
feel that would just be bad because there's a lot of people that go through there and get gas, and so we go to Harvest Market a lot, and they have that sign right there when you go to pull out, and you can't see. You have to keep creeping out. That's horrible.
So drop it to 4 foot and strike the block view to space.
Okay, so I'm just changing that to 4, getting rid of
it. Yeah, sure.
And do you care what the fence is made of?
No. Yeah. Just want to permit the structure, so with no snow fence or bike racks.
Stacked up to get to
the K-rails, whatever they want to use.
I'd like to see some of these vines be a little bit higher, the outside permitted hours, the open containers. And then I was intrigued by there's a limit. And I wonder why there's a limit.
Limit on what?
A limit on the amount of fines that can be imposed.
Well, because after that they close, we pull the license.
Yeah, at some point in time you're going to revoke the license.
Yeah.
Right. But do we need that? If we plan on revoking a license, do we need that to be in there, especially if we're... And then, is this a 1 year calendar period or is it rolling 12 months? I would encourage rolling 12 months.
Well, when we do liquor license to liquor license. Because in the past, I don't know if we still do this or not, I'm looking at you guys, any report that has to do with a liquor establishment, a copy of that Rick gives to these guys and it gets stapled, it goes in their file, the liquor mm-hmm. license file, stapled to their permits. So, mm-hmm. say next year it's renewal time, we forgot they had an underage drinking thing. So we can either not approve it when it comes up again.
But as far as the fines go,
yeah.
Like I wouldn't want to have... So they start at May 1st, right? Is that what it is?
So if it's April 3rd,
in March and April, and then in May
they have a fence,
they go back to...
Yeah. Are they the same?
No, they're all different.
They're all different, okay.
So.
But in the ordinance, it has them all May.
All the we need to fix that so all the liquor licenses are on the same time. So if we need to prorate some of them...
That's what it says it does.
Yeah, we need to get them all due at the same time because they're all due at different times. Because I'm always signing... It seems like I'm always signing a liquor license.
I would hope not.
Well, it just seems like because every time I get a call, we have another one. It's constant all the time.
6 month intervals.
All right. And well, that's why.
If they have Sunday opening, that's part of their classification. I think that's $2 or $250 annually. So... One of their 6 month licenses will pay the Sunday opening for the entire year. And that gets a little convoluted because two of our establishments come due at the same time, but they're on separate schedules for Sunday opening portion of their fee.
They should be, if they want to pay twice a year, fine, but everybody's on the same schedule. And you do licenses in May and then in October, and depending on, I mean, I think all of them open on Sunday, so you just add that to whatever the license fee is and split it in half, and they pay half each time.
Yeah, I like that. Because I like it. Because one bar owner wants to pay yearly. He would love to pay yearly.
Well, why can't he?
Yeah.
Because it's every 6 months, isn't it?
Okay.
No, I told him he can pay yearly.
Yeah, okay.
I think we're talking about the same individual. Yeah. I told him he can, but he hasn't.
Which, I'm looking at simplifying my life a little bit too, but it also simplifies their guys' life in there because they know they all come to it this time, so a month before, whenever you guys start getting ready, we know they need their insurance, copy their insurance, they need this, and this. And we've had a complaint, the bar owners complained that they want a notice sent out when it's due. Well, if it's due the same time and you don't pay it, and I think we should put a late fee on it too. If they don't pay it, they're closed for however many days that behind they're paying their liquor license, as well as a whatever the late fee would be.
Can you give me specifics on what you want to change the fines to?
I just think outside of permitted hours, I feel like we could kick that up to like the same 500, 1,000, 1,500.
Okay.
I don't know what anybody else thinks about that. The other violations, would that include noise?
Yep, could.
Yep. I think that could probably go up a little bit as well. I don't know what that would look like. But
you want to make it 4, 750, and 1,000, or
for which one?
Other violations.
Other violations at the bottom of the chart.
Anyone else have?
What's the cutoff for the noise? Like what time or?
Measure.
I mean, is there a time constraint as when they should cut off?
Yes. It actually says noise prohibited. An emission beyond boundaries of a licensed premises of any noise that unreasonably interferes with enjoyment of life or with any lawful business or activity, including but not limited to any one or more of the following is prohibited. Then it has noise constituting a violation. This is determined by findings and order of the Illinois Pollution Control Act. Board, excuse me.
Does that run under the other law that we have? The nuisance law?
The special
of what time everything has to be shut off?
Noise emitted by use or operation of a sound amplifying device.
So it has to be off somewhere. What time?
Well, so the device produces a loud, disturbing, or raucous sound which can be heard by persons at a distance greater than 100 feet from the boundaries of the licensed premises at any time. I can hear them from my house.
Yeah. Well, I'm just going to say if you shut down their music, then you're going to shut down the bar, and then you're going to have nothing in any of the buildings.
I'm a sound person, so I know how to
I hear it in my house, but only when I want to hear it. But I think there has
not
to be
have people.
You can't tell them there
away.
Can't be any sound.
This is in the liquor
no,
ordinance,
I'm just
not
saying,
in the noise ordinance.
The noise ordinance has got to be
what
something.
What section is that, Terrence?
This is 5.0.
I don't go to any bars.
It's
so
right
care,
above security
saying,
plan regulations.
All these regulations are just going to be in bars.
It's it is 5.04.
That's right, I mean.
0.475.
No. It's a shame. We're going to lose a lot of revenue.
Amplified live or recorded music or entertainment is permitted.
This
isn't a change. This is just something we haven't been enforcing.
Oh, really?
Yes. These aren't any changes. It says no more than 100 feet from your property. Plain and simple. If you can't hear the music within 100 feet of the property, you need to move closer. Not
but
the music get louder.
That's why they
I
have
hear
to
it
get,
from my house.
That's why they
the
have
problem.
To get special permits and all that stuff. We have to
well, that's why I said there's a lot more involved than just a liquor license for the noise. I think that follows in the other one, doesn't it? Also?
I'll leave it alone, but you can
amplified live or recorded music is permitted on any licensed premises as long as subsections 1 and 2 above are not violated, except that no license shall permit any live or recorded music or entertainment to be amplified by any means outside any building on the premises from 5 p.m. to 8 a.m. unless approved in advance by the Village of Tolona Board of Trustees.
See, there's a time frame, so.
Yes, 5 to 8 without 5 p.m. to 8 a.m. without being approved. That's where the special permit comes in.
Yeah.
Under
anytime
special
they
conditions and restrictions imposed. Now,
but this is amplified outside.
Right.
So they can have their amplifiers inside.
Yes, but you could you imagine that music? If you can hear that more than 100 feet away.
But those ants are on the inside, so there's where the...
Right. But no, they can have it outside, but they still have to follow 1 and 2 above it.
I'm just asking. I don't partake in any of them, so I don't know.
You have thoughts? I would get the bar's opinion on this whole thing.
I would too. Truth.
Because if we go shutting down, especially the music, we're going to lose a lot of revenue.
Yeah, and I think that's something we need to do. We need to get
to
a...
Shut down the music. We're just trying to...
Well, I mean, according to what he was reading.
Yeah.
This is in the liquor ordinance.
That's in
the
liquor ordinance.
Noise ordinance. But in the liquor ordinance, we are saying that those people that are serving alcohol...
Right. So we have to rewrite that part of it. Unless
but
we
why?
But they can get a special permit, right? If they were having
every night?
Band,
yes.
If it's outdoor.
Yeah, or something like that. Where they're not going to have that every night, where...
But it still has to follow one
of why is right. noise even in the liquor ordinance?
That's what I'm wondering.
I'm assuming they would fall under nuisance. And music. Both of which...
Well, it ties it to their liquor license, so you can actually put it as a violation against their liquor. I'm just making this up.
I don't know.
So, that's just my... We've lost Mark over there. Yes, ma'am.
We had a gathering at the park several years ago, and we had band, we had music, and we had asked the town.
20 years. Just the other day?
What time do we need to shut it down? Because, you know, you've got the park, and you've got all these people around, and the town told us 11 o'clock. So.
Yeah, that's noise ordinance.
Yes.
You know,
yeah. So. Yeah. So the bar should follow the noise ordinance. Unless they get a special
that's
permit.
That's what we're asking.
Yeah, I think
they had a special permit.
Yeah. We didn't have a permit.
They didn't have a permit. They could just keep it open until...
Let's just, you know... But
plus
I'm thinking 5 o'clock and during... You're talking about 5 o'clock p.m.
5 p.m. to 8 a.m.
And that seems like... I don't
you have some music during your dinner. How about that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, there may be some time when the church wants to have something, and so then we'll have to follow that, too.
Well, but
it seems a little early to me, 5 o'clock, you know, unless it's just outrageously loud.
I don't think any of them do anything at 5, do they?
Well, sometimes Loose Cobra will have an all-day event.
And they get a permit for that.
Yeah. And they get a permit.
He gets a permit for it.
Even when he doesn't need a permit, he usually gets it. Right. He gets a permit.
Is there a time set for those special permits?
It's on the permit.
It is.
How late they can go?
Mm-hmm. No.
No.
Because every time that there's a special permit...
Terrence puts it on the permit.
And a specific establishment owner submits one, we are always letting him break the noise ordinance. And I have been bringing it up nearly every time.
But you're not breaking the noise ordinance if you get a special permit.
Exactly.
We're breaking our own laws by allowing it. We're breaking our own ordinances by allowing
ordinances and guidelines.
Yeah, the ordinance is a guideline. When it's a special permit, that's a special permit.
And in the special permit, it does not... I've highlighted all of this. It does
well,
not
give us... Well,
we usually
write it in the notes, and the bar owner actually puts on the...
Isn't there a time limit we can...
We can do this.
Isn't there a time limit we can spend on talking on something? Isn't there a time limit?
There is.
Yes.
Why don't we table this? Mark's got a lot of revisions to do. You guys are welcome to email me or any of the board members.
Thank you.
Comments, suggestions, I'm open. And we'll vote on this at the next meeting. So, and anybody has any other comments trustee-wise, email them to Mark. So, okay. So, it's tabled for now. Copy or approval proposal. It's on the agenda.
Mm-hmm. I have paper copies if anyone would like to see those. Otherwise, the digital copies are in your board packets.
Can I just write on a paper copy?
Don't you have a pen you can write on your...
Exactly. You can borrow Jackie.
I can't. It's over there.
Give it back. Excuse me. Excuse me.
That's all right. Okay. Thanks.
So,
where's yours?
Your guy.
Where's yours? Give me it.
not a copier guy. They all seem pretty apples to apples to me. Some of them submitted additional proposals for larger machines in case that was desired. Some included potential for lease agreement. I don't think leasing's a good idea because over 2 years.
Which one do you suggest? You're the one using it and you're the one going.
Mm-hmm. That would be the police station.
Okay.
So this would be Rick and the cops. I've gotten almost no feedback from Rick as to, he basically said, the machine that you have at your office, if it performs kind of like that, I'm cool with it.
There you go.
Which one
performs kind of like that?
I mean, there is a Sharp. That was in the proposal.
I pretty much told him that just a small tabletop thing or something. I mean,
well, we want to be able to, it would be nice if it was on wheels so we could roll it in here if we need it for something.
Yeah, because I'm saying that, like right now we're using normal jet ink.
We can leave it in here.
Well, we don't do that now, but we don't use the copy over there.
You're
we go
right.
To that ink.
I hate you.
In fact, I'm just now getting ready to have to order some more because we just bought some 3 weeks ago. Because we print our reports and all that, our statistics, all that stuff on there, and use all that ink. And these things here will not use that much. We can print it all black and everything, and do back pages. All sorts of different things with it, and it doesn't cost as much because they use toner instead of.
It'd be nice to have a copy machine over here.
I understand.
Let's come in. Okay, I'm good with that. I'm perfectly fine with that. Brandy said, why don't you just take the one at the village and get the village a new one? Because I'm about ready to throw the one at the village out the door.
Well,
but you're not going to be as hard on it as they are.
Not that we abuse our equipment. We just
print a lot. All the water bills,
So my concern with that would simply be the cost for the desktop machine is going to be around $1,500 to $2,000, looking at these proposals. A standalone machine like we currently have is going to be closer to $5,000. So an expense of, we'll say $2,000 or an expense of $5,000.
Yeah, but how much
are
we paying?
How long do we need to start replacing them anyway?
I would think two to three years would need to replace it.
I can actually print
to
it
just
now.
Put
how old is
it? In
it? How old is it?
I think he said 7 years when he was in. Is that what he said?
That's
Brandy?
Way past its.
They will last 10, 12 years.
But we can probably get a whole lot more years out of it over here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's.
With the reduce.
I think that's a really good idea. And then you guys can actually get a little bit better machine that can take the more copies.
So, what I'm hearing is we can. Well, and I'm not trying to be a smart aleck, but we can basically close the door on these proposals for now.
Yeah.
I can go back to them and basically say, make sure you're doing
standing
a
unit
stand,
with finisher.
Standing unit.
Yes.
Okay.
All right. Yeah. Perfect. Moving on.
Boiler proposals.
I would like to go with a boiler opposed to a blow forced air furnace. And it kind of goes with what Pastor Young and his wife said. That, along with the ordinances we make and those... the things that we are doing for the village, we want them to last for a long, long time. Mm-hmm. I don't want to revisit this liquor ordinance ever again. So
we will.
But and going a boiler, the last one lasted 50 some years.
Right.
So,
Brandy, do you remember if it was Dash that actually crawled up in the attic?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So when it comes to the furnace portion of the quote, the one I would take most serious would be Bash, because they actually climbed up in our attic and looked at the air handler up there.
Because they came back a second day with
right.
a different...
Nobody else actually got into the attic of the facility. They just kind of went off of more or less guesswork. On the other hand, and I didn't go through the proposals with a fine-tooth comb, all of the vendors were made aware that they're required to comply with prevailing wage. That was the initial emails and phone calls that I made out to them. That could be why we got so few responses back from them. I want to say it was Chief Bauer was the one that included in their proposal that for certain we will comply with prevailing wage. Jesse said that they'd have to talk to their owner. They may not submit a proposal. They in turn did submit a proposal after conferencing with their leadership as to if they were going to do that. So I know that Chief Bauer and Jesse are very aware of the prevailing wage requirement. And I also agree with the mayor that the boiler, for longevity's sake, makes a lot of sense. And we have the existing infrastructure in the building for the boiler. It wouldn't be a complete overhaul of ductwork or anything.
Just only Jesse was saying they needed to rerun ductwork, right?
Yes, I think they wanted to run floor vents, which would be ductwork in the finished basement.
I wanted to put heating strips in the attic.
That
blower.
Was Chief Bauer wanted to put like electric heat strips in the existing air handler, which would cause our electric utility bill to go up.
But Bash is like, just do a furnace in these existing.
Right, because I think they're going to attach the furnace to the existing air handler in the attic.
Now, are these Bash ones both for just furnaces?
Yes, I think they say in one of the proposals that they do not do boilers.
Okay.
And I did reach out to about 15 to 17 different companies, and these are the proposals that we got back.
Have you seen these?
And if it's not in that folder in the board packet, the Castle one still stands. The initial one that Castle had given us, saying this is what we'd charge you to replace your boiler.
As talking to all of them, when they came over, which one are you happy with that did the boiler estimate? Which one do you think was more out of 10 to?
I was most impressed with Jesse that they actually came back and climbed up in the attic to give us an accurate proposal, but they don't do boilers.
Monkey boiler.
Bash. Jesse, the gentleman that came down, his proposal includes he seemed very knowledgeable. His proposal includes an on-demand water heater, so it would replace our good functional water heater. And then he wanted to put an on-demand one in there with the understanding that it's a so many years warranty on it. Our water heater could go within that time frame, so this way it's a whole new system.
I like that.
All under warranty.
Now, Matt, are you okay doing the maintenance on that? Because once a year, every 6 months, you're going to have to clean it.
I know nothing about boilers.
No, it's not a boiler. It's the on-demand hot water heater.
You have an on-demand here, too.
Yeah. Okay, well, never mind. We have another one, so he's going to have to learn. There's a learning curve.
Welcome.
So, it looks relatively simple. It's probably complicated the first time, but there's a kit you buy, you hook it up, flush it, done.
Just make sure it goes back.
Until I find the salesman for that company. He didn't come up in the industry, so I don't think he's a tech. His primary line of business is elsewhere. And this seems to be almost a secondary career for him. So, seemed like a really nice guy.
How do the proposals match up?
Cost-wise?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't do it side-by-side because while we asked for as apples-to-apples as we could get, I mean, you have heat strips in the existing air handler.
I don't mind.
Down to boilers, one's replacing the hot water heater with an on-demand or tankless hot water heater. The other is not. So,
I like that idea. I just need a motion on whatever you guys decide.
I would go with the cheapest boiler one, but I'm stingy with money, so.
Yeah. I like the idea of replacing the hot water heater so it's all one office visit instead of having them come back tomorrow and do a hot water heater. And plus, we're going to save money with an on-demand hot water heater eventually.
Yes, my question would be how much?
We're saving a whole lot of hot putting water. Putting one in our place saved us quite a bit.
But you're taking showers there.
That's true. Hey, you have a shower?
Well, the only thing I can say is it only produces that hot water when you need it. So if you don't use any hot water for 2 months, you're not heating any hot water.
But you paid for a unit that you're not using then.
Well, you're gonna have to have a hot water heater anyways. Where there, it's going to constantly keep your hot water at 150 degrees or whatever you want.
So it's always running.
But that could be a small...
That's true.
It's and the smaller ones aren't bad.
It'll be smaller than this one just because of the shower here. They had to size it with that shower.
Mine was the largest one they had, and it was $1,000. But that was the largest they
had. Then were circulating lines or anything with it, or strictly?
Just strictly on demand.
We just put circulate lines on it, but then you're defeating the purpose.
I know, then you're always...
Yeah, it's still
make sure because we don't need them there.
Yeah.
But at my house, we're full hot water 4 or 5 times a day.
Cool. All right, I need a motion.
So just to verify, Jesse, I don't have the paper proposals for this in front of me because most of those were emailed in. Jesse is the one, if someone could verify, that has the hot water, the tankless hot water heater attached to it.
Can we verify that that's not one for like an entire house?
Yeah, why don't we do a not to exceed? And then that way, if we can get a smaller hot water heater, then it'll just come in lower, which would be great. And that gives a little leeway too, so if they get in there and they find something really bad, then it gives them a little leeway before coming back to the board too.
Execute on this.
If we have the money, I'd like to get a ton now. Because yours is failing. And
it's
one
not
less
failing because it's warm.
Yeah. One less thing for next year's budget. If we have the money.
I hear we don't.
We don't.
That's, God.
I mean.
Seriously.
I don't see where Jesse has the...
I don't
either.
So is that a castle thing? You have castles?
No, it's not a castle.
Because they just didn't mention it. They didn't. Nobody included it.
Okay.
So may have.
What? Okay. Refine the bid. Bring it back in the next meeting. We'll vote on it then.
Okay.
Too late long enough. We won't need it till.
Man, exactly.
That's a really good idea.
Space here is going so pretty.
This isn't for Brandy's house either, is it?
Already got it in my office.
No, mine's fixed as of now. After 4 days of breathing.
And Murphy, you mentioned using this room as a space that the community could come in and use it. We had someone call involving a political candidate for county government that wanted to use this space. At first, it sounded like an educational thing, almost like a seminar.
But she's also running for the spot.
But the person who's giving the seminar is running for the position that she's there to explain about. I talked to the mayor, and we kind of came to the conclusion that having a policy set forth, whether it be a fee structure or an established policy so that groups are treated equally, that we're not favoring one group over another. What I can do is talk to the township, see what they rent their space for in their hall across from UC, maybe see what Philo does or some of the other communities do with their areas, come up with a schedule of fees, whether it be an hourly rate or what.
And rules, because we don't have a kitchen. We don't really have a good place to clean up. So do we want people to have food in here or just have meetings?
Something else would be, if they're going to have a plug in here, if they would require an insurance provider for them to cover for anything that happens here, or is it going to be on us?
This would be a great place. Do real estate licensing testing or something along those lines.
Because, actually, somebody talked about the information the Catholic Church, their hall requires an insurance writer.
Okay. Oh, perfect.
So
I think JFL or somebody who wanted it for their fundraiser thing, but they wanted it today. It's like, well, we're not sharing today. So.
So that's something to think about. Also, I haven't seen if it's hit state government yet, but there's proposed legislation for recreational marijuana in Illinois. Yeah. If you feel a certain way about that, now would be a great time to petition state legislators for what U.S. local leaders would feel is appropriate.
If you look at various states' laws on recreational marijuana, Colorado leaves a lot of control to the local municipalities. Other states do not. If you feel one way or the other about it, now would be a great time to call those state leaders to maybe lobby your cause, because that may affect our community in the next year or so.
All right, so on to
new business.
The pool ordinance. Anybody have a chance to look at it? I really like it. It's very simple. It's easy.
I just have one question on it. We have a building permit fee, but it only addresses above ground. So why only above ground?
You need an in-ground, too.
Yeah, the way I read it. It just talks about above ground or construction of a required fence for such above ground pool, but it doesn't say anything about in ground. So I don't know if we just need to remove or say in ground and above ground.
And
but other than that,
yeah,
it's really
so
pretty
it's
clean.
The same one you sent me.
I think so. Yeah, we stole it from another, from Philo. I really like it. We're going to, I think, just for information's sake, Philo's almost got their building ordinances redone. And what I've seen so far, I really, really like, because ours, excuse me, so theirs are very simple. They make sense. They are common language. I think ours talks, I know it talks over my head, so that's something maybe down the road we can work it into codification or... when they get theirs finalized, we'll at least get a copy of them and we can look at them and maybe start fixing ours. Which would be nice when we combine those two boards together, and then that can be part of what the board is planning and zoning.
You can't charge a fee for the fence if you don't want to. But I think this is the cleanup that you would want to do, is you want to add in an in-ground pool.
Well, this says also construction of an above-ground fenced pool or construction of a required fence. So would the permit be for the fence or the pool or both?
Well, I think what that's trying to talk about is some of these above-ground pools come with a built-in fence.
Mm-hmm.
Others are just above ground pools, so you'd have to put a fence around the outside of it. And then what you're talking about is an underground pool. It's your call if you don't have to charge a fee at all.
No, we don't, but it should include in ground.
But
pools.
You are going to have a cost when you're having to have your person go check it out, but you may be so excited they're putting in fences.
So just keep it
cool that you don't want to charge them anything.
What our building permit is now, because it's, was it $50?
I think so.
Fence permit's 10.
Okay.
Yeah, we don't have anything for any sort of pool.
What's the proposed for the pool?
Say it again.
What's the proposed?
It's blank.
I put blank, I didn't know.
I'd say leave it at 10 then, because you're mostly just going to be looking at the fence.
What do you think is the fair price?
10 doesn't cover.
What
covers our cost?
Because you're going to have to do
the GIS stuff.
That's
true.
Fine.
See,
I agree.
Is
that 30?
It would be, well, if it falls within that half hour locate, it would be 20 for that, plus 10 for the...
Make it $50. That covers the locate. That covers all of our costs.
Because right now, like I said, you know, $10 doesn't even cover Brandy's last time just to write the thing out. So, you know, if we have to look anything up in the ordinance, then that's even more time. You know, it just... The fees for the building permits are...
Yeah. Yeah. I guess now's the time. If we got one open, might as well make it correct.
Exactly.
The first time, so change it again.
I'm going to go with 50.
Because partner and help everything else to you, correct?
probably should have water and sewer hookup. That's usually not an issue because that's how much is that? 450, something like that. But most of the time, that doesn't matter. I mean, because if you're in a new subdivision, there's already a tap for the sewer, there's a tap for the water. So, I mean, that's no big.
Yeah, that's the issue there. Like this house in Austin doesn't have to tie into a system line.
And I don't even know if there's a water main there. I don't know where the nearest sewer is at.
Yeah. So yeah, keep it 50. Start it there.
So I'm thinking that if anybody was making a motion when they were making it, it would be including...
Vicki, pay attention.
It would be including the correction of a really embarrassing typo on the cover page for the Village of Tolano. I don't know why I didn't see that, but I saw it when I came in the room. And then in 8.30060, I'm suggesting that we would add in or a fence for an underground pool, so that's included in there. And then between permit and the, in the third sentence of that, we'd add the word under, and then we'd insert $50 in the blank.
Outstanding.
And now that will be
as stated.
All of our fences.
That's just the pool ordinance, but then we can rewrite the fence one and change it next meeting. Or we can...
We should probably look at all of the...
I agree.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But is that going to cause us an issue and have to have a... If we start changing all the fee structure, we're going to have...
Right now, it seems to me that if I... It depends on the kind of fence that I apply for. So if I apply for a fence around my backyard and I go for a $10 fence fee, that's what I'm going to pay. It'll turn out that probably satisfies my pool requirements, so I won't apply for a separate fence, pool fence fee or a license. And then, but if I just come in for a pool only, you're going to zap me $50. So you'll just have that differential.
Which,
but that's in the middle of February, March, yeah. April.
We have time to fix it.
So, I think you're okay.
Hi.
Yes, sir.
If someone was.
I would just buy a regular fence for $10.
Right, but if someone were thinking,
I would pay $50.
Well, let's pay for this now and just get a fence permit.
Yes.
Could we put instead of a $50 fee in here,
put
language that specifically says that it will line up with our fence building permit fees, that as those change. It's changed in here as well.
Yeah, we could just say the greater of the existing fence fee or $50 or the lesser.
But again, they have to submit a drawing.
I think the only time this will affect you is if you're putting in an above the ground pool that has a built-in fence on it. Then you're stuck paying $50. Otherwise, you're just going to get a regular fence permit and not worry about it.
Right, but that's what I'm saying. If we have the two just line up with this just having reference to our fence building permit fee, whatever that fence building permit fee is, that's what this permit fee is.
I like that word.
That way...
It shall mirror...
It shall mirror our fence building permit.
Okay.
That way, it gives us a reason to get it done quicker... And then there's no, well, I'll just put a fence around my whole yard for $10.
That's me.
Versus, well, like Anna
that'll
would
cost
do.
Cost you $10,000.
Right, right.
These people couldn't.
That's what I would do.
Or
just think they're worried about $40 for a pencil. I think so.
And plus,
but then we don't have to keep changing fees here versus there.
I think just leave it $50 because that's the problem with their building ordinances right now. They're confusing.
Mm-hmm.
So we're just making it more confusing, and then Matt's going to the next meeting. He's going to work on our fence ordinance one, and we'll just pass it next meeting.
Just get kind of revamped. fall there.
Yeah, I agree. Or we have a couple months, and hopefully Brandy's working with codification, and we're moving through on that. And in March or April, we have a whole bunch of the pass. Yeah.
Pools probably should be added in to the building permit as well. We just had an in-ground pool put in. That would affect the property value. So we don't have a building permit for that. So
it doesn't necessarily affect the property.
Won't
get hurt.
Let's go down.
What our building permits do is pretty much gets that information to the county. The county reassesses the value of the home. That's how we make our money. So we need to kind of make sure we have everything that would affect the value of the home in there. So in-ground pool would be one. Fences is definitely one. You know, somebody spent $20,000 to put a fence around their yard. That affects the value of the property. So.
Yep. Cool. All right, something for us to work on. What's I want? It's up to you guys. I don't have a vote in this, but I like to leave it simpler, and then we'll fix the fence one. So, motion either way. Sorry, I'm moving along.
Yeah, we just keep the $50 pool fee, and then we fix the fence one later.
So I think someone would be making a motion to approve the ordinance with the changes as recommended by Mark and inserting a $50 fee.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. One second.
How about you make the motion?
Vicky made the motion. Ryan seconded
I'll make
it.
The motion.
She didn't make
I didn't
the
make
motion.
Motion.
Oh, you did? I thought you just said you did.
All right. You can second it. No, he made the motion.
I'll make the motion.
Okay. Would you like to second it?
A third.
I'll second.
Is this all in favor of roll call?
It's an ordinance.
Alright. I'm tired. I'm fading fast.
Buffo.
Yes.
Terry.
Yes.
King.
Yes.
Morris.
Yes.
Stuber.
Yes.
Great. We'll send you a clean copy in the morning. Perfect. Thank you, sir. I'll sign it on Friday. Alright, anything for the nuisance and tickler files? We sent the lawyer letters out. And is it time to move forward on?
I gave the list to Mark the last meeting or the meeting before that. The last meeting.
Who's sending him out? Is Mark sending him out?
The third letters.
Or are we sending him out?
I believe puzzled. That you are doing two letters.
Right, which
and
I did.
The third
and
letter
I
would be
you
me.
The, right, I gave you the updated list at the last
We're
meeting.
On third letter now.
Yep.
Okay, well then, the lawyer did not send any third letters out.
Do you need me to resend you that list?
You were pretty sick when you were here last time.
Yeah,
you were. Yeah, okay. If you can just electronically resend it to me, that's the safest thing, yes. Yes. I don't throw anything away, so I'm sure I have the list.
All right, so any questions on nuisance properties or anything like that? We're... send your thing out that you sent me on DAG to everybody.
Did you want a summary at the
yes,
end,
please.
End of that?
I want the summary at the beginning. Because that's all I'm going to read.
Just
that's
why we need
a summary.
We call it an abstract.
Yeah.
I know. I'm fine with that. Because that's all I'm going to read. he did a really good job. He cited all the ordinances and went through, and it's couple pages and
Brandy
it's
and
every
Brandy
single
and through.
It's every single thing and it's really good
four
but
pages,
so. I want a summary with the sorry
we'll try and work on that tomorrow
then. Okay, anything miscellaneous to discuss that we went to the what did we go to Samoa meeting, sorry, and Billigro, I told you I'm fading faster, I'm getting tired. And it was awesome. I want you guys to go. The village will pay for you to go. I'm thinking about hosting. I think it'd be great. I'm not sure where to host, so I'm looking for ideas.
How many people are at these?
They hosted at the VFW, like 50, 60.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah,
but 60. The cool thing about it is the electric irrigation guy will give us like 250. I think Farnsworth kicks in some money for it. and then you charge each person that goes to it like $20. So you're paid for it. It's not any money out of pocket. We're gonna cost some employee fees probably because
they serve food.
They serve food
in the kitchen.
So they didn't have at the VFW. They just had it catered. And the caterers came in and catered it. And the only establishment we have big enough is maybe Trackside. I mean, this is too small here. The firehouse is too small, I think.
The Methodist Church and St. Patrick's both have halls.
I forgot about
that. That would work. You know, I wouldn't do the township building.
No. The problem with the Presbyterian's got one too, the CU building, but it's kind of dated.
It's got
but there's no.
Too.
Well, we have an elevator, but I wouldn't put anybody in that thing. So it's a little scary.
Next door too.
Oh
yeah.
Oh yeah. Masons.
So. And the Methodist one was really nice.
It's really nice.
Yeah.
We use it for
showers
and stuff.
Okay, that's why I brought this out. The only issue with those, and I don't want to say,
I can't afford the water.
There was a lot of people that came and wanted to drink, which that's not something we should offer, but it's an option. Would it downsize the people that came? I don't know. You don't really have time, because we got there, and sat down, ate, the speakers talked, and we were out of there in an hour and 20 minutes, if that.
Yeah, it was pretty fast.
It was pretty fast, and it was neat. It was neat talking to the other mayors and stuff. Had a really great conversation with the Arthur mayor, and they've gotten some grants and stuff, and it was enlightening. Villa Grove is doing amazing things. They're building a whole new water treatment plant with filters and sewer treatment plant. They built a new fire station and police department all in one building.
And ambulance.
And paid less than what we paid for the either one of our buildings.
Probably shouldn't say that out loud. You're being recorded.
And their police department is really tiny. Their police department is the size of this.
There's also more Morton building, though.
Right.
Yeah.
Metal building.
Yeah, it was neat.
I'm not just saying.
But it was neat talking to the other, and talking what they're struggling with. And their ideas. It was really cool. It's worth the $20 it cost us to go. And if we do it here, I would like everybody to attend if we can. They had a really good showing at Villa Grove. I think they had all their trustees. They also had student trustees, which is something I've wanted to do. I've brought it up before. They talk to their superintendent. The school sends them two trustees. The trustees can vote on everything. Their vote doesn't really count on most things, but they get to vote. So they're part of it, and they get to voice their opinion on different topics, so which I really, really like. There are some things that their vote does count on, and I can't. There's a lot of conversations going on, and I can't remember exactly what their vote counts on. But I like that a lot. And their trustee spoke, their student trustee spoke, very intelligent kid, going into some politics, I think, or something along those lines, talked to him afterwards for a minute, knowledgeable, knew what was going on in the village, very hands-on, and it would be nice to get that next generation interested in this, so to get us off and get the younger generation in here. So, just a thought. Anything else from it? Okay. We have an executive session, which shouldn't take very long, and next meeting is February 20th. Did you read it, I hope?
It's a lot of receipts.
Yeah.
I don't get most of it. So
motion to adjourn to executive session for the limited purposes of discussing the hiring, performance, compensation, and or employment of one or more village employees.
Sorry.
Yes.
Perry?
Yeah.
Yes.
Morris?
Yes.
Tabor?
Yes.
3 minutes.
We will die.
3 minute break.